The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
It is, and it is a Wednesday. Hold on, I got to pull up the my live countdown clock. 41 days, 19 hours, 11 minutes, and 25 seconds until we are officially rid of Donald J. Trump. Ugh, everything about the man makes my skin crawl. It is frustrating beyond belief. That he continues to spew these lies and that people listen to him. I mean, a good amount of people listen to him, that they didn't see through his bullshit and they vote for 74 million people voted for him. And frankly, before the 2020 election, no presidential candidate had ever broken the 70 million vote mark. Now, Joe Biden will wind up with over 80 million votes, but 24 million people voted for Donald Trump in November. It makes no sense. I don't understand it. I don't usually start. Oh, and the person who was on the phone just hung up. I was going to go right to a call. Somebody called in from 205. Oh, I bet that was our friend from Alabama. Anyway, who it was. Proud Skell, if that was you, call back in, because Proud Skell, one of our regulars who hangs out in the chat room, is in Alabama, and he does occasionally call in from the 205 area code. But he just wrote in the chat. He said, I met Doug Jones personally and know something horrible on top of what you heard about Yates' firm, King and Spalding. And then he said, NBC said the AG choice is down to Jones, Doug Jones, Merrick Garland, and Sally Yates. Oh, boy. I hate to say it, that's not much of a choice. Look, Doug Jones does have some really good stuff in his background. I mean, he was the one who prosecuted the bombers in Alabama from, was it the late 50s, early 60s? I'm bad with dates. Don't ever ask me about a date. So that's going on. We're expecting to hear Joe Biden's nominee for attorney general, anytime now, because he is rolling it all out. But there's a new fly in the ointment, as it were. Joe Biden announced that Marcia Fudge, Congresswoman from Ohio, will join his administration as I think it was HUD, Housing and Urban Development, if I recall correctly. And, people are saying, OK, she's decent. She's all right. The problem is that the Democrats lost a lot of seats in the House in this election. Yes, we won back the White House, which is, was the important thing, but lost a number of seats. So right now, hold on, I should bring this up because where was I looking at it? I was just reading something about how slim the margin is right now. Let's see if I can't find this. Because there was a rumor. Well, there are other rumors. I don't even want to report on rumors. But the House. Okay. Biden has already appointed two House members, Cedric Richmond, who is coming out of New Orleans, I believe, and now Marcia Fudge. That brings the margin down to like two. The Democrats have, why can't I find where I had all of the, I had all of the statistics. I hate this, that I do this and I can't find it. Basically, there's no room, there's no margin of error. I mean, the Democrats maybe have five seats more than the Republicans do or will come January 6th when the new Congress begins. With it, that makes it a very, very small margin, a margin smaller than we've seen in decades. It doesn't give Nancy Pelosi a lot of wiggle room, you know? So we'll see. I mean, I would have liked to have seen, who was I talking about? There are so many. I wanted to see Deb Haaland of New Mexico in as Interior Secretary. Now, there was a false start. Somebody had announced that outgoing Senator Tom Udall was named Interior Secretary. But then the link disappeared. So that's not official yet. I guess it's not a done deal. A lot of progressives are pushing for Deb Haaland of New Mexico. But the thing is, we can't afford to give up another seat in the House. And granted, these three, if Deb Haaland were to get in, are reliably blue seats. The problem is, those seats will remain empty until special elections are called. And we can't afford it because, you know, there are a lot of blue dogs and new Dems still in Congress. And they tend to, you know, for whatever reason, vote with the Republicans. And that's not a good thing. So, you know, here we move right along and keep flowing and we'll see what happens. It's crazy busy time. Donald Trump is as demented as ever. He went on another Twitter tear today. Now he's tweeting at everybody that on election evening at 10 p.m., quote, we were at 97% win with the so-called bookies. The so-called bookies? Either they're bookies or they're not. And really, Donald Trump is saying, see, all the bettors, all the gamblers knew, thought we won. And here's the other thing. For months, certainly weeks, but really months leading up to the election, we were told because things are different this year, because so many people, due to COVID, are availing themselves of the opportunity to mail in their votes on a paper ballot, that the results will not be known on the night of Election Day, that it could take days or even weeks till everything is counted. Now, the reason that that's the case is because it was mostly in states with Republican governors and Republican secretaries of state who made a rule that said if people are doing absentee ballots, if they're voting by mail, those ballots cannot be counted. Those envelopes cannot even be opened until after the polls close on election night. Well, that's ridiculous. And look, I live in Florida, the land of the duh. And even Florida, you know, they count the votes as they come in. That's why we here had our information. We knew who was the winner Tuesday night on the night of November 3rd, because this has been in the works for years. We voted by mail, those who wanted to in Florida, for years. But you know, we knew that Pennsylvania and Georgia and a number of other states, Wisconsin, I believe, I know Pennsylvania certainly couldn't start counting until the polls were closed. And I believe the others too, but don't hold me to it. But a number of Republican-led states have that rule. They weren't allowed to even open the envelopes with the absentee ballots, with the vote-by-mail ballots, until after the polls closed. Well, obviously, the counting's going to be delayed. And if you watched any of them, from Steve Kornacki to John King or whoever it was on CNN doing all the tallying, you know that they came in, the votes came in big clumps, in groups. And so when Donald Trump screams, there was a big dump of votes in the middle of the night. Well, yeah, because when counties would send in their vote tallies, they come in big batches. That's how it works. But his sycophants, his groupies, his flunkies, his fans, his cult members don't believe reputable news sources. So I'm reading something in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, not my favorite newspaper, but I read the local papers because I think it's important to read a newspaper. And there was a letter to the editor saying, you report this stuff, you know, you're in the pocket of whoever. Now I'm canceling my subscription. This is how Trumpers react to news they don't like with disbelief. Instead of when it's news you don't like, he's like, oh, you should say, the reaction should be, I need to do something about that. We need to change this. Or that sucks. Not they're reporting something I like, so they're wrong. That's what Donald Trump does. Anything that is critical of him that doesn't report his preferred story, in other words, in regards to the election that he won, which he didn't, is fake news. It's opposite world. I talk about it all the time. All right. Our 205 area, our 205 caller is back. It is Proud Skell. Is it you?
Yes.
I figured it was you. So what is it you want to tell us about Doug Jones?
Well, not exactly what we like, because I was at one of these meet and greets for the candidate type of thing. And he said he liked Bill Clinton more than Obama.
Okay. And you know what? Look, that doesn't disqualify him from being attorney general. You know, look, I don't personally love the guy. But, you know, Proud Skell, I remember when you went to volunteer for him when he jumped in as the candidate. So, you know, you're being awfully hypocritical here.
Well, I'm just trying to think what your listeners think and I think. But there's some great things about him, like the Birmingham church bombing case.
Right.
And the fact that he was one of the best U.S. attorneys from my federal district.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one of his partners at one time was Jack Drake. And Jack Drake is the largest labor lawyer in Alabama.
Okay.
And he also had an assistant at one time who later became head of the Alabama ACLU, Anil Amudrabar. And to be bluntly honest, I have a lot of anger towards Sally Yates. She was, when I lived in Atlanta, she was at King and Spalding. And King and Spalding.
Yeah, did you hear the show?
Infamous.
Did you hear the show on Monday? We went through all of this.
I want to add something even more viler.
Okay.
King and Spalding defended the Catholic Church, the Diocese of Atlanta, an abuse suit.
Okay. Look, when you're a lawyer, you take cases that you don't necessarily believe in. Sometimes you just have to. I don't fault him for that. I fault her for that. I fault her for a lot of other things. Just knowing that she chose to work at that specific firm. I'm not going to fault her for specific cases.
For being a woman, you're going to be dredged up by that in the Senate. They will puff that up. To
okay.
Death.
All right, Proud Skell, do you have anything? Because I got a million things I need to do today. So
yes. One more thing.
Okay.
I think the country is very divided, and an easy way to say this is most of these goofs supporting Trump, as you said when he went through, unfortunately, are in the South and the Central Midwest. Because you can easily look at an electoral college map and prove that from seeing blue spots in the West Coast, the Upper Midwest, and the Northeast.
Okay.
And I'm just saying this country is very divided regionally, and those areas are different culturally from the rest of the country in my travels because I lived as a kid all over the country.
Okay, you're not telling us anything we don't know. I appreciate you calling, but I mean, really? We're divided? This is a big revelation?
No, but I'm saying how. You could easily see it in the electoral college map.
Gotcha.
All right.
Proud Skell, I'm going to run.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I appreciate the call. And I love Proud Skell. He's been listening for a long time. But, you know, I love your calls. Call in any time, but have something to... add to the conversation. I know I'm such a bitch. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be. And I do want you to share information. But, you know, he lives in Alabama. I'll tell you the other side of the story on Doug Jones. And Proudscale was very much a fan when Doug Jones ran for the Senate a couple of years ago when for the special election. Anyway, Don Siegelman, who was the governor of Alabama, who was a great progressive governor, who was targeted by the Bush administration, the W. Bush administration, and Karl Rove, and made Don Siegelman, seriously, back when this happened, America's first real political prisoner, at least in this era, the modern era. And what they did to Don Siegelman was horrendous. You should read his book, Stealing Democracy. It's amazing. If you don't know his story, go to NicoleSandler.com. Go to the blog page, which is where all the podcasts are posted, and search Don Siegelman. He's been on the show a number of times. Most recently, when the book came out, we told his whole story. We did an extended program that day. And what happened to him was just a travesty. Don Siegelman was good enough to be president. He should have been president. He is a progressive. He is smart. He's brilliant. And he speaks very, very highly of Doug Jones. In fact, Doug Jones worked to, you know, to help clear Don Siegelman as an attorney. So I have mixed feelings about Doug Jones. I just worry about, look, and I understand what the black community wants. And I listened to a little bit of Al Sharpton last night or today, whenever it was. And apparently because of Doug Jones' role in the Birmingham bombing case, he is a friend to the black or African-American community. He's on the right side when it comes to civil rights. The thing is, I know that... you know, a lot of people were hoping it would be a person of color. Seriously, not another old white man as attorney general. And frankly, the guest we had on, Jeff Hauser, on Monday, we talked about a lot of different scenarios. And, you know, one name he floated, I keep wanting to say Gwen Ifill's sister, who's blanking on her first name right now. Sherilyn Ifill would be perfect. But, you know, I it's not up to me. Nobody asks my opinion either, except you guys get to hear it every day. All right. Today, let me tell you what's going on today. I'm so beside myself with the just, you know, I talk about it all the time, and it goes back to the whole opposite world thing. In fact, you know what I'm talking about when I say opposite world, right?
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Yeah, because, for instance, once again, I started saying this before the call came in. Donald Trump is in another world. He's tweeting about bookies, right? That the bookies had it called for him at 10 o'clock on election night. We were at 97% win with the so-called bookies. He not only tweeted that as a general tweet out to the ether, but he tweeted that directly to, I think, a Chief Justice Roberts. He tweeted it to individual Supreme Court justices. He said things like, no candidate has ever won both Florida and Ohio and lost. I won them both by a lot. I think he lost Ohio, but, you know, whatever. He's saying he won everything. He didn't win everything. He lost. He is a loser. And normally when a person behaves like this, in Florida, we have something called the Baker Act, where a family member can say this person is not in his or her right mind, and they will come and take you away. It's called being Baker Acted, and you're put in a secure facility for your own self-interest, so you don't hurt yourself or anybody else. That's what we need right now with Donald Trump. He's delusional. The man is crazy. And what's even scarier is the Republicans in elected office, for the most part, are going along with him. And they're doing that because they're afraid for their own political survival. Because if Donald Trump, if you're a Republican in today's Trumpian Republican Party, and you go up against Donald Trump, you call him out for his lies and his bullshit, he will turn on you, and he'll turn all his minions on you as well. To the point where people, Republican governors, secretaries of state, who are doing their jobs, who are doing the right thing, from Arizona to Georgia and every place in between, they're getting death threats. Death threats. You heard the guy from Georgia. I don't think I have the clip handy right now, but, you know, here it is. Oh, there you go. He's Gabriel Sterling, the voting implementation director in the state of Georgia. You remember this very impassioned statement, right?
In the beginning of this, I'm going to do my best to keep it together, because it has all gone too far.
You think?
All of it.
All of it.
Joe DeGeneva today asked for Chris Krebs, a patriot who ran CISA, to be shot. A 20-something tech in Gwinnett County today has death threats and a noose put out saying he should be hung for treason because he was transferring a report on batches from an EMS to a county computer so he could read it.
And what gets me, and, you know, that went on for 10 minutes. What gets me is these same people who are, you know, screaming that we, what did Kelly Loeffler say? Radical liberal. Is that what she called him? Raphael Warnock. Yeah. Where the radical ones, where the dangerous ones? They scream Antifa as if they know what it means. They know shit. They don't, or I should say, they don't know shit. Yeah, this is Kelly Loeffler.
My opponent, radical liberal Raphael Warnock. Radical liberal Raphael Warnock.
Radical liberal. She said it ad nauseum. Radical liberal. We're not the radical ones. Or you've got a bad idea of what the word radical means. You do not know what radical means. Here you go. Breaking news from CNN. The man who calls himself President Trump has asked the Supreme Court to block millions of votes from four battleground states that voted for President-elect Joe Biden. He wants to turn democracy on its head. He wants your vote not to count. He wants my vote not to count. He only wants the votes of Republicans to count. That's not democracy. And when I hear these Trumpers speak, it just, I know he loves the poorly educated, and now we know why. He loves the poorly educated.
I love the poorly educated.
Because they're fucking stupid, and they don't understand how democracy works, and they don't understand the Fourth Estate, and they don't understand that facts are facts, and lies are made up bullshit. My God, it's infuriating. 41 days. This Texas lawsuit is ridiculous. But he got the attorney general of Texas, a guy named Ken Paxton, to do his dirty work. Well, it turns out, you know, Ken Paxton is under FBI investigation. Yes. On Tuesday morning, this is from Slate. On Tuesday morning, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton asked the Supreme Court to effectively declare Donald Trump the winner of the 2020 election. Paxton's lawsuit falsely accuses Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin of counting invalid votes in violation of the Constitution. It asks the justices to remedy this alleged misconduct by forcing all four states' legislatures to throw out every vote and appoint electors who support Trump. Many Republican lawmakers have already endorsed such a scheme, but Paxton is the first to ask SCOTUS to facilitate it. If the Supreme Court took up his invitation, it would commit the single biggest act of vote nullification in American history, voiding millions of ballots to hand Trump an unearned second term. And the story goes on from there. This is what people should be in the streets screaming about. This man is attempting a coup, as Zeynep Terfecci wrote in The Atlantic this week. What don't these people see? So there's a story in The Nation magazine. It is written by a guy named, what is his name? Joe Rahm. Joe Rahm is the CEO and editor-in-chief of a new site, a fairly new site called Front Page Live. And the article he wrote for The Nation is called Why Democrats Lose on Social Media While Republicans Lie and Win Big. Well, I'd like to know the answer to that. Is it because America is uneducated? It's the dumbing down of this country? That we accept a con man, a shill, a family of grifters in the White House for 4 years? And, you know, when election time rolled around, I'm thinking there's going to be such an outcry that the landslide is going to be enormous to get this family of con artists out of the White House. And they got more votes this time than they did last time. And they conned Latinos. They locked up families. They took babies away from their mothers. There are still some where in the neighborhood of 600 children who this government took from their parents, separated families, young children, some infants, that we don't know where the parents are. And yet, Donald Trump's share of the Hispanic vote went up. What are we doing wrong? Now, I've for a long time said that the Republicans are simply better at the messaging than the Democrats are. And that's what this article is about. So in a few minutes, we'll speak with Joseph Rahm, CEO of Front Page Live. So stick around for that. While we're waiting, so this week I've been playing these parodies for you. I've played a number of different versions of The Devil Went Down to Georgia, go figure. And there's yet another one. I'm telling you, it's like, remember at the beginning of the stay-at-home period for COVID, everyone did a parody of My Sharona, because it's my corona. Well, this time it's The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And this one just popped up, I want to say yesterday, and it's from our friends at the Parody Project. Enjoy.
Patient was worn thin. He was telling lies as a vain disguise for the trouble he's been in. He lost an important contest, and he still claims he can win. And now he's got receipts for some sentence. He said he wants to cash them in. The demon focused on himself and tried to swing a deal. When he said, hey, Kim, take a pathetic win for some votes you need to steal. But Kim refused to do it. He had visions of parole, and he didn't see an ascendancy because he'd already sold his soul. The orange demon's tried this crap before, but the workflow is hard to tell. When he's all about, when he's being played out, cause his game has gone to hell.
Georgia is evolving from the ways of the old South. And then he will, when the racist rhetoric's been from their mouths. They're younger and more racially diverse than ever before. And if they win the South, we'll hear their roar.
One side is Warnock and Ossoff, and they want to help people out. On the other left, they're in Purdue. Let me tell you what they're about. Leffer's got priorities, protecting her 800 mil. She's out of touch, and she doesn't care much. She's making money on the hill. Purdue's not unfamiliar with the smell of a crooked deal. There was money made from the COVID aid that he's anxious to conceal.
The Arthur Grant's election fraud. This will be beaten in the bus. People need to take control of the battleground of the country's soul.
Republicans have a strategy to simply lie and smear, make wild imagery of scary radicals to fear. But there's a power loose in Georgia we ain't seen down there before. And those good old boys with their golden tires should be looking for the door.
Georgia is the only one who weighs a deal south. And then we
this is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
And the Progressive Voices Network, and we're back. And I'm thrilled to welcome our guest for the day. Joe Rahm is with us. Joe happens to be CEO and editor-in-chief of Front Page Live. And if you haven't checked out frontpagelive.com yet, you should, because it's another, well, progressive kind of news aggregator. That's what you got. Hi, Joe. First of all, hold on. I got to bring this down. I always have to figure out where the echo is coming from. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show. Oh, and I'm not here. Oh, I have you muted. Hold on. That's my fault. Can you unmute yourself? Because there we go. There you are. Always something. So, again, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. Tell us about Front Page Live. How long have you guys been around?
We launched in June of 2019, and I've had about 70 million page views since then. And we work really hard to make content go viral. And a lot of the content on our site is, as you say, aggregated. We also do a bunch of original content and do a lot of headline testing and message testing, that sort of thing. And, you know, our goal is to, our slogan is, reality is our bias.
You know, I got to tell you, I read through the site. I read about you. I noticed that a couple of your main employees actually come from years at Fox. And I want to ask you about that, too, because I know a lot of people at Fox don't necessarily share the ideology of News Corp, but they need a job. It's their job. So they do it and they hold their nose and they do the work. But we'll get to that. The other thing that I noticed is that you wrote a book. Tell us the name of your book.
Here's my book. You got
Go Viral and Reach Millions.
How to Go Viral and Reach Millions. And it's top persuasion secrets from social media superstars, Jesus, Shakespeare, Oprah, and even Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Which is in orange here.
Oh, as it should be.
I really, you know, like a lot of people, the 2016 election hit me quite hard, particularly since, you know, even though I'm a writer, I was trained as a physicist, so I was sort of the data guy, and people would call me up to be reassured that Donald Trump is not going to win.
Uh-huh.
So as someone who did reassure people, you know, I really wanted to understand why were the polls wrong? What happened? And what I came to realize was that there was the right wing, together with the Trump campaign, Brad Parscale at the time, and the Russians had created this powerful engine for making falsehoods, making fake stories, fake news go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the states where that was done the most effectively, those were the states where Trump beat his polling. And this has continued. And so I wrote this book to sort of explain what happened in 2016, to understand and explain what Trump does well as a communicator, mm-hmm. because obviously, he's very effective for what he's trying to accomplish. So I talk about what that is. He uses rhetoric. He uses a classic storytelling strategies that for what he is trying to accomplish. And then this book, How to Go Viral and Reach Millions, shares all the secrets that I've learned over 15 years writing online and studying the social science literature, brain science, marketing, research on exactly what it is that makes content go viral. And then, you know, we launched and the point of the site was to start to be a place that would help address the problem that progressives aren't really good at generating content that is maximizing its chance to go viral. Mm-hmm. And then they don't really know how to make it go viral once they do.
It's the messaging problem that the Democrats have always had, a messaging problem. We've got some brilliant people on our side of the aisle. They're just not, I don't know, they don't cut through. They don't know how to make a bumper sticker slogan. They don't know how to grab you in three or four words and make a point and make it stick. So this piece you wrote for The Nation yesterday went viral, basically. It was the most read article up at The Nation yesterday. It was called Why Democrats Lose on Social Media While Republicans Lie and Win Big. And that's one of my biggest frustrations. I can't understand how 74 million people voted for this man who does nothing but lie. Do they I know, as I said earlier, I know he loves the poorly educated. And that, this is why, because they buy his bullshit, because they listen to. I just heard on the show that I follow on the Progressive Voices Network, a woman called in who gets her news from OAN. And is just spewing this nonsense about what went on in the election, when actually this was the safest, most easy election, because everybody voted on paper ballots, go figure, that we've had in recent memory. And, you know, they just deny reality. I don't get it. And so this year we saw some very creative messaging, you know, the Lincoln Project, although they're technically on the other side, they did some great stuff. We have the Midas Touch brothers who did some brilliant video ads that went viral. But our message still doesn't cut through. Have you identified, is it one specific thing and why people listen to the lies and are so easily led?
Well, I think that, look, a lot of it is, you know, social media and the algorithms in social media and the greed of the people who run the social media companies. Don't think I have to name them. I think, you know, everyone knows who they are. Yep. And they have created a world where they believe in quote unquote free speech, which is everybody can say whatever they want and they'll viralize it and the marketplace will decide. And, you know, we've never lived in a time before where literally you could, I could target, you know, veterans over 65, you know, within a 10-mile radius of Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I can hit them with dozens of messages, see which ones they click on, tweak them, change them. So on platforms that were designed by their creators to be addictive, right? All the social media companies hired the top behavioral scientists in the world in order to say, how do I keep you on for a little bit longer? You know, how do I turn social media into other things that are addictive, like gamblers, you know, what is the principle behind slot machines and all, or gambling in general? So, you know, that's the challenge.
Well, you know, you make a great point in the article. You talk about what you just said, that the micro targeting, that this is all new technology. That stuff that wasn't available. You couldn't, you know, do a targeted ad aimed at one person or one household or one specific community before social media, before these algorithms came into play. And so let me read something you wrote. A disturbing number of the most viral stories on any given day are from far-right pseudo-news sources like the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro's conservative media arm, which is owned by the Wilks, a family that made billions on fracking. Republicans are outperforming Democrats in this digital echo chamber, in no small part because they use a network of big Facebook pages to cross-promote content. These efforts move voters. Joe, you don't know this, but I live in South Florida. And then you continue. Trump won 45% of Florida Latinos in 2020, an 11-point jump from 2016, despite numerous overtly anti-Latino policies like putting thousands of Latino kids in cages. As CNN's John King explained, when Trump stunned the Democrats in South Florida, it was because of this niche marketing to Latino voters from Cuba, Venezuela, and elsewhere with the simple message, socialism, socialism, socialism. And oh my God, you know, it was so funny. I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I've been for years. Sure. I think he's great. I think we need somebody like that. But okay, it is what it is. And everyone was going, oh, it can't be Bernie because they're going to call him a socialist. And I said, it doesn't matter who we nominate. They will call Joe Biden a socialist. And that's a joke because Joe Biden is about as far from socialist as any Democrat can be. And yet that's exactly what happened. And it worked. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think people need to understand, you know, that what the Republicans, the conservatives have done, what the Trump campaign was doing, was always on persuasion marketing. You know, with Democrats, we raised staggering amounts of money in the last few months of an election. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't win hearts and minds doing 3 or 4 months of media marketing and outreach if the other side is doing it for, you know, 24/7, 365 days a year, off years too, and they keep with the simple message. You know, it's a simple message, and of course, you know, this negative partisanship, the negative branding, is especially effective when progressives sort of use words as a shorthand that means something very different to a lot of other people.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of a lot of Bernie's policies, and particularly as a climate guy, you know, we have a long way to go to be as aggressive as we need to preserve a livable climate. But words do matter. And, you know, I think that, it is incumbent on all Democrats to, you know, figure out if you're going to use a word, you're going to have to define it and you're going to have to make it simple. Otherwise I don't want to say you can't use the word, but you have no business if you're letting the other side destroy the meaning of a word, as they did, as I'm sure you know, back when in the Mike Dukakis era, when they attacked card-carrying liberals, and they really savaged the word liberal to the
point that's where progressive came from.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I sort of chuckle to myself when I hear people go, well, here's the difference between liberals and progressives. There's no difference. I'm sorry. I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. I am what I am. The right made liberal a dirty word so that liberals stopped using it and found another word to identify themselves. And that's what it is.
Yeah. And that requires, you know, look, they have set up a alternative media system built around Fox News. And now Fox News is moderate compared to your OANs. You know, it's just crazy, the conspiracy theory mongers who have become mainstream in the Republican Party. But yes, they've created this whole content creation studio, and then using social media, they've been handed an addictive distribution channel. And, you know, our side has been, you know, you'll talk to funders, as I often do on our side, they'll say, oh, well, you know, we've got the New York Times, the Washington Post. Well, the New York they don't do persuasion messaging.
Right.
In fact, they generally don't want to offend conservatives.
Exactly. And they bend over backwards to not offend them oftentimes.
So they water down headlines. Mm-hmm. They pull their punches. So the net result is that there's one gigantic media, which the right has successfully labeled liberal media. Right. But it's really mainstream status quo media.
Exactly.
Reporting facts is not, you know, is the least you can do to be liberal.
Yes. As I was telling the listeners before, that in recent days, I've seen in a few places, not only in a letter to the editor, but online as well, people not liking the story that the local newspapers are telling. You know, we've got a governor who's nuts, DeSantis, who I call death sentence, Ron death sentence, because he's killing people, because our COVID numbers are going through the roof. And what does he say? No more remote meetings, public meetings. They all have to be in person. He wants schools open at 100%, businesses open at 100%, no mask mandates allowed in the state. And so the South Florida Sun Sentinel, owned by Tribune, not a liberal company by any means, you know, criticized him for this. And I saw a number of posts like, that's it, I'm canceling my subscription. It used to be if people didn't like the news, they would try to do something to change the narrative, not to say, I'm not listening to you anymore because you're telling me a story I don't want to hear. This is a Trumpian development, isn't it?
It is. Well, this is the disinformation campaign and strategy that was really perfected in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And this is what Putin, you know, this is really, you can, if you Google, you know, the Putin and disinformation strategy, you spend days reading about it. It's very sophisticated. You know, not only do they create a disinformation strategy and make it go viral. And of course, ultimately, you know, as I say in the book, the How to Go Viral book, this is all about storytelling. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what goes viral are stories. You know, the minute we are done with work, we flee to watch, you know, stories on TV or mm-hmm. read stories and listen to podcasts. And so we are programmed to be addicted to stories. We are the storytelling animal, really, and the story needing animal. So, you know, Putin in the Soviet Union, they mastered the art of not only creating an alternative reality, but they would also just put out outrageous disinformation so the people would lose trust in all sources of the news. So they don't even care. Sometimes they want to persuade you. But sometimes, I mean, like, you know, the QAnon, its purpose is to shatter belief that there is any truth.
You know, when you delve into what these people are about, I mean, they actually have been pushing a story that says Joe Biden didn't really fracture his foot. He's wearing that boot to hide the ankle monitor that he has to wear after he was arrested for child pornography or some what? For pedophilia. I'm like, what? And they believe this. It's all like the pizza place and Hillary Clinton and the child sex ring. They believe this stuff. And yet, do we know? I mean, there's one person who is, Q, who's anonymous, who's pushing this stuff that they're all now following. I mean, I never paid attention to it because it was so ridiculous. But a big portion of the country is now buying it. I'm blown away.
Well, I think, you know, and this is part of the thinking behind Front Page Live, to try to understand what content goes viral and how to do it. You know, I think that people want to believe certain type of story about their lives. Obviously, we're all the hero in our own journey, right? And so what happened was, obviously, it's crystal clear that the American dream, as it was sold in fiction, isn't happening for a very large number of people. And so when people's lives don't meet an expectation that, hey, I'm going to be able to do all the things my parents did, you know, or that sort of thing, quite natural. And what, you know, obviously, this is the promise of America. When people's lives don't go the way they want, they are ready for a story to explain why. And progressives don't tell stories. And they particularly
don't tell
stories where we single out bad guys.
Yeah.
But as I've said many times, if your story, if in politics, if you don't identify the bad guy or gal, someone will tell their version of the story in which you're the bad guy.
Yes. Exactly. And the story that's easiest to kind of repeat is the one that gets told over and over again. And I guess that does explain Donald Trump. It's stunning to me. One other thing I want to get in there before I forget, and that is when I was looking for information about Front Page Live, I came across a website called MediaBiasFactCheck.com. Never heard of them before, but apparently they examine websites for their veracity. I have a real problem with these sites that just shovel the shit, that just push propaganda, which I thought was illegal in this country, but what do I know? Anyway, you should know, in case you don't, that they say that Front Page Live has a left bias. It says these media sources are moderately to strongly biased toward liberal causes through story selection and or political affiliation. They may utilize strong loaded words, publish misleading reports, and omit reporting of information that may damage liberal causes. Some sources in this category may be trustworthy, but overall, we rate Front Page Live biased based on story selection that almost always leans liberal progressive. We also rate them mostly factual for reporting due to occasionally using sources that have failed fact checks. But what they're saying is, you guys, you lean left, but you publish the truth. And that is possible. I just don't see that on any right wing. You know, the one you mentioned that Ben Shapiro runs. They make up stuff. It's just like one fantastical, you know, story after another, like the child sex rings out of the pizza place in D.C., it's like this show. It's what I try to do. Yes, I lean left. I'm definitely a progressive, a liberal, but I report on real stories. It's all about fact. And you can't debate somebody who won't at least admit to the baseline truth. We are now looking at a whole half of the nation who is making shit up left and right. And this is what they're basing their argument on. You can't have a reasonable argument or discussion with somebody who won't admit that the sky is blue, right?
The challenge is that the mainstream media simply hasn't figured this out at all. You know, the fact that they're constantly reading the president's tweets and showing exactly what he said, even though we all know that it's stone cold lie after stone cold lie. The right sort of cleverly figured out that the media always wants to split the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, progressives, you know, I come at this out of the climate space.
Yes.
It is ridiculous that reporting accurately on climate science means you have a liberal bias.
Right. The way they vilified the Green New Deal. You're right about that at this piece at The Nation. The Green New Deal is something that's actually needed right now. And it's promoting a lot of good policies to create jobs, to open up a new segment or section of the economy as we, you know, migrate from a fossil fuel based energy sector to a renewable. And yet they turned it into the boogeyman. And they use it as an attack now, where something is really good, they use as an attack, and it sticks. That's what's so frustrating.
Yeah, and again, it's because they pour hundreds of millions of dollars, and the entire right wing and the right wing billionaires, you know, they open their checkbooks and they create this always on persuasion engine, and you know, it really doesn't exist on the left. You know, we're trying to do our own little part, but you know, we hope to be teaming up with some people. You know, I'm hoping to create the Lincoln Project of climate change.
Nice. With people who believe it.
yeah. And look, there's a certain segment of the society, I hate to say it, who we can't reach. And if we did, we wouldn't be able to persuade them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, there clearly, you know, is a large number of people who are reachable. And also, you know, it's always important to speak to your own base and arm them with the best facts, the best explanation, stories, graphs, memes, videos, whatever it is. So, you know, this is always very valuable because intensity matters, you know.
Right. You know, I used to be of the mind that, yeah, memes are cute. They're, you know, they're clever. But really, a meme is not going to influence anybody. I'm wrong on that one, aren't I? This has taken over as a major communication tool, as a major marketing persuasion tool. The meme is a powerful notion. In fact, I came upon you guys at Front Page Live through a group of progressive activists who've put together a sort of a club, if you will, or a list, or a Twitter list and a Facebook list of groups who have the same sensibilities and the same desire to amplify a progressive message. And and it's mostly based in memes. I mean, they share a lot of memes. And at first I was going, what memes? Give me somebody to talk to that I can interview. But then I realized, no, this is how America, with our short attention span and poorly educated masses, this is how we learn things. So the more creative you can be in the fewest words with a clever picture, the better. Right. Like, here's one. There's Gene Wilder. Oops, I have no audio on that one. Sorry. Hold on. I got to get us back again because people are now going, there's no audio. So I just showed that meme. I've got a few others. But of course, I forgot to set up with audio. So anyway, this is how a lot of people communicate and they get ideas across. And I guess you have to change with the times.
Absolutely. Look, you know, there's always been billboards and posters and you know, the meme has emerged through study. You know, frankly, Breitbart figured out in the 2016, before 2016, that the thing that was going the most viral were wordy images with words. And yeah, there's no question that we live in an era of sound bites. We live in an era of short messages.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they work. So we as Democrats or progressives or liberals or whatever you want to call us, need to learn how to talk to everybody. I guess sometimes we use too many words. Maybe they call us elites. I don't know. I happen to enjoy an in-depth, detailed discussion, but I do see the power that these memes have, and I see how they're shared, and they, you know, it's definitely a 2020-ish thing, and we need to be more aware of those things. So I'm trying to embrace memes and things like that, the short videos that go like this. I guess the kind of radio I do, look, I'm an old radio person. I've been doing this for over 40 years. So I'm old school, but I'm on the generation I'm headed out. I can be stuck in my ways, but when I see new talented young activists coming up, I'm looking to them to see how they're getting their message out, because it's a whole new ball game, and the old rules don't work anymore.
No, you got your memes and you have your TikTok videos.
So. Yeah. And the song parodies, you know, you saw one. I started playing these. I try to do one each day because sometimes things get so serious here and you got to laugh, because if you don't laugh, the alternative is to lose your mind. You said when Trump got elected, it was hard. I'm one of those people. I had a really rough time for probably the first 2 years of his term, just putting one foot in front of the other. I can't believe this country did this. And now 4 years later, I still can't believe it, but I'm more angry than shocked. I think I went through the five stages of grief, and now I'm coming out fighting. But Democrats need a better strategy. And frankly, in Congress, they're kind of, sucking out loud. We need to fix it. We need new blood, new energy, creative energy, who understands this new technology and how to harness it. But we want to do it with honesty, not with lies and propaganda. Real quickly, am I wrong? Isn't propaganda illegal in this country?
Well, there was a time when, and I'm sure you know this well, when you had the Fairness Doctrine.
Yes.
That there was actually a law that said you couldn't do just
one-side
lies,
right,
and just
And you couldn't just present one side of an issue. You had to have a full rounded discussion. If I used to work, I worked at WMCA in New York as a producer when I was a little kid. I produced Bob Grant, a right wing talk show. And I remember I've got responses from people who I put out equal time requests for. We discussed this. Would you like to come on and give the other side? That doesn't exist anymore. And I think it's hurt us as a nation, as a people, as a society because of it.
Yeah, well, and of course, as you know, the right had been trying to undermine that and that doctrine for a long time. And it happened during the Reagan administration. And it's no surprise that, you know, by the 19, you know, so it was the end of the 1980s, mid to end of the 1980s, that the doctrine was basically destroyed. And you know, then you got Fox News and the world just changed.
Yes, it did. Unfortunately, the clock is against us. I could keep talking to you for a while. Joe Rahm, I hope you'll come back. Find him at frontpagelive.com. Do check them out because they tell the truth and they're creative about it. And they give us viral content. Thanks, Joe. It's great meeting you. And we'll talk again.
Thanks, Nicole.
Okay.
Anytime.
Take care. And tomorrow, it's Thursday, Howie Klein will be here. Thanks, everyone. Have a great night. We're done. Bye.